Support for Upfront Inside Atlanta's entertainment industry comes from Life Enrichment Realty.
Coming up on this edition of Upfront, openly gay rapper Milan Christopher stops by to talk about Love and Hip Hop Hollywood and his new album, Alpha. Atlanta playwright Kerwin D. Sims is here to chat about his new theatrical production, Hank and Frank. And celebrity wardrobe stylist and costume designer Toye Adedipe talks fashion and more. But first, here's this week's casting buzz with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Trina and Tawanda Braxton are producing a new reality series, and they want you. The sisters are looking for LGBTQ couples with big personalities of all ages, backgrounds, and family sizes. The casting call will take place this Monday, September 5th, from 2 p.m. until 5 p.m. at Times Restaurant, located at 793 Juniper Street in Atlanta. Information is available at BraxtonRealityShowCasting.eventbrite.com. Auditions are now being held for the upcoming stage play Unholy War on Saturday, September 10th from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. The play is centered on a groomsman who is dealing with the heartbreaking dilemma of living happily ever after or leaving his bride-to-be stranded at the altar. Audition information is available at UnholyWar.com. In other entertainment news, the new FX series Atlanta debuts this Tuesday, September 6th at 10 p.m. and stars Atlanta's own Donald Glover. The show follows two cousins with different views on art versus commerce as they make their way through Atlanta's rap scene. Also debuting on Tuesday night at 10 p.m. is the Oprah Winfrey Network's new original series, Queen Sugar. The show chronicles the lives and loves of three estranged siblings who inherit their father's sugarcane farm in the heart of Louisiana. The show stars Atlanta's own Omar Dorsey and is directed by Ava DuVernay and produced by Oprah Winfrey. And lastly, congratulations to Grammy-winning music star Toni Braxton. She was honored Thursday night with the BMI President's Award during the 2016 BMI R&B Hip Hop Awards. The VIP event took place at Atlanta's Woodruff Arts Center. Braxton was recognized for her distinguished career and substantial influence on popular music over the last 25 years. Check out all the red carpet photos at WCLK.com. That's today's Casting Buzz. I'm Reva Blue. You're listening to member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station, and now the home for in-depth arts and entertainment. Now, back to Upfront with your host, Ray Cornelius.
Hip-hop star and model Milan Christopher made headlines last year when he and his ex-lover, Miles Brock, went public about their relationship on VH1's top-rated reality series, Love and Hip-Hop Hollywood. Since that time, Milan has released an album titled Alpha and a music video for the song When I Go, which addresses domestic violence, bullying, and suicide in the LGBT community. Good morning, Milan, and welcome to Upfront. How are you today?
Pretty good. What's going on, ATL?
So I have to just jump right out and ask this. Are you returning to Love and Hip Hop? Because I see your picture on the website. Are you on Love and Hip Hop Hollywood?
They have my pictures up. They still have me in there. They have like a thing on Wikipedia. They have, they use my pictures, but no, I'm not returning this season. Okay. I might come back another season, but not this particular season.
Not this particular season. Yeah. Now, are you on a new reality show? Because I've been seeing a lot of news about
be on some other stuff, but I really am not privy to talk about it because the last time I talked about it, it kind of got out. And what happened was another network developed something similar to what we were developing.
Okay.
And so, but yeah, I'm definitely, just stay tuned right after Halloween, the first week of November.
Okay. How did coming out, in a sense, on national television and all of the press that you received for being the first gay hip hop sort of artist, how did that change your life? How did that change you as a person?
You know, it brought a lot of awareness to, you know, the LGBT community and a lot of awareness to myself. So it went from, you know, I was pretty known in the gay kind of community. But after the show, I was known everywhere, you know, mainstream,
right.
Pop culture wise, because it was one of those topics that was kind of taboo.
Right.
And it was the first time it had like really been exposed to the demographic of, you know, women and church people and people that are in hip hop and just everybody that watches Love and Hip Hop. So it was pretty dynamic, you know, as far as my brand was concerned. It grew substantially after the show.
Okay. This is Upfront, and you're listening to Milan Christopher. Wanted to also ask you, were there any regrets with doing the reality show? Because a lot of times you hear people, you know, say, I didn't know that I was going to have to experience this, or I didn't know that I was going to go through this because of reality. Any regrets?
I would say, you know, I didn't know that how once I was exposed to that platform, how my relationships with my friends, my exes, and, you know, those type of things would change. Because right now, a lot of times you don't know if a person is like trying to use you, or they're naturally attracted to you, or they're trying to be your friend because of popularity. You know, so, you know, that's probably my only regret, but that's pretty easily controlled by who you let into your inner circle. So
I want it all with me.
This is Upfront with Ray Cornelius, and you're listening to Milan Christopher, an openly gay hip-hop artist. You recently released a single and powerful video for a song, When I Go. What was the inspiration behind that? Because that's coming out of the gate. That was a very strong message that you were sending.
I think one of the most important things with When I Go was some of the things of thoughts that I've had growing up as a kid and past relationships, experiences. But I wanted the world to understand, you know, what we go through as LGBT youth, and see kind of what leads to LGBT teens being the number one group of demographic of people who commit suicide.
Right.
And so I wanted to talk on, you know, exposed bullying and, you know, even domestic violence and things that people don't necessarily see unless they're LGBT or in an LGBT household.
Right.
So I wanted to expose that so people can understand that, you know, some of the things that they do can lead to people who are just innocently just being themselves, thinking they're not worthy and end up killing themselves. So I wanted that to be kind of the message behind it.
And when watching the video, I think that was really, I would say, one of the first times that we have seen in a video the domestic violence portion that the LGBT community may experience.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the domestic violence could be from a father, a mother, a boyfriend or a girlfriend. So I wanted to make sure that I didn't kind of like make that person that was in the video kind of, is that his boyfriend? Is that his father? You know, what, right. I wanted it to be open to interpretation. And so, so I wanted people to be able to see that, you know, it's hard. You know, a lot of people, we don't have a lot of places we can turn to. We can't go to our schools because it's shunned there. A lot of the black churches, you know, being LGBT is kind of, you know, it's a brick wall.
Yeah.
Once that's being said, and even friends and family turn on you when they find out that you're gay. So, you know, I wanted people to learn how to be more supportive and accepting to youth.
Okay. Now, you are partnering with GLAAD Foundation, and you're also one of the newest members of the Human Rights Campaign. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things, or can you talk about some of the new initiatives or things that you guys are going to be working on together?
Honestly, they send out initiatives every single day. Okay. It's a new initiative every day. And okay. So it's up to the person to kind of pick and choose what they want to be involved in.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where I've probably donated to maybe about 86 things already.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, and I'm fully supportive of all 86 of them. So, yeah.
Now, you're also an entrepreneur. You've got a clothing line. You're also the owner of Beverly Hills White Smiles. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about those ventures.
So Beverly Hills White Smile is a teeth whitening business that I started back in 2013.
Okay.
And it's one of those things where when I was living in L.A., you know, just doing auditions and booking jobs and music wasn't paying the bills. So I had to figure out something to kind of bring in some bacon. So I started Beverly Hills White Smile. I didn't know how to do hair. I didn't know how to do makeup, you know, things that are like quick things that people, especially being gay,
right,
could do to make quick money. So I started that, and I wanted just to do something that was not gender specific. So everybody wants a white smile.
Right.
So I was like, oh, this will be cool. And I got two of my friends, Karrueche Tran, shout out to Karrueche, and Lola Monroe,
okay,
to come in and do it and post it on their Instagram. Social media. Okay. And once they did that, the business went from 0 to 100, like in less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's how that started. And then my clothing line, of course, I like to take salacious pictures and show my body off. So I was like, how can I find a median to be sexy, but not use candid photos or
right.
candid videos? So I was like, oh, I can start an underwear line. And that way I can keep my fans who were following me for that ascertain and my new fans happy too. So, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Now what's new? What else is going on with you?
I literally just dropped my album maybe like 2 months ago called The Alpha. I did the music video that we've talked about, and
okay.
each one of the songs I'm doing visuals for right now.
Okay.
And also I'm working on a new reality TV show. Actually, I just got a phone call yesterday for another reality TV show. So it's everything is going pretty good.
Okay. This is Upfront with Ray Cornelius, and you're listening to Milan Christopher, a openly gay hip hop artist. Wanted to ask you, what are you interested? I know you're doing reality TV, but are you interested in any scripted projects or any movie
Absolutely.
Projects?
Like, I love Power. Like, that's one show that I would love to be on.
Okay.
I would love to eventually work with like Lee Daniels or someone like that. Cause I like the way he tries to, implement the LGBT into his format and his platform.
Right.
But definitely Power is like one of my dream jobs to okay. get on Power.
Okay. And then what advice would you give to Milan, who's 19 years old? You're 29 now, but what advice would you give to Milan 10 years ago?
Milan, to me or somebody else?
No, to you. I'm talking to your 19-year-old self.
Oh my God. Don't waste a lot of time on just mediocrity. I think I wasted a lot of time on mediocrity, but at the same time, it's kind of like, I feel like thinking back on it, if had I not did it, I wouldn't have been as adamant as I am about doing the stuff that I do now.
Right.
So it's kind of like, I really would just tell myself to keep going. You know what I mean? Like, so that's pretty much.
All right. Well, Milan, thank you so much for stopping by Upfront, and we look forward to seeing these new ventures on television.
No problem. Can't wait till you guys see them either. So I'm excited.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Ovations Entertainment, presenting the comedy stage play Hank and Frank, September 8th through the 11th at the Southwest Arts Center. The play follows the antics of an old cranky owner of a neighborhood pawn shop and his son, with cameo appearances by Thomas W. Dortch Jr., Derek Alexander Pope, and Captain Eric Jackson. Hank and Frank is written and directed by Kerwin D. Sims. Ticket information is available at ovationsentertainment.com.
You're listening to member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station, and now the home for in-depth arts and entertainment. Now, back to Upfront with your host, Ray Cornelius.
My next guest is Kerwin D. Sims, Chief Content Creator for Ovations Entertainment, a Dallas, Georgia-based company that licenses its own original works for use to broadcast and cable networks. The company is gearing up to debut its newest comedy stage play, Hank and Frank, which opens next week at Atlanta's Southwest Arts Center. Welcome to Upfront. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Glad to be on Upfront.
First of all, I must say congratulations, Kerwin, on your third theatrical production. What was the inspiration behind Hank and Frank?
It stemmed from the hit TV show Sanford and Son,
okay.
Which was a offshoot, a spinoff from a British sitcom, Steptoe and Son. And when I decided to get into production and writing, I said I wanted to do something a lot of people would be familiar with, the audience would be familiar with. So that was the inspiration. Now, Hanklin Strange and his son, Franklin Strange, they are owners of the Strange Pawn Shop and Antiques Emporium.
Okay.
So they're pawnbrokers,
right.
unlike Sanford and Son, who were junk dealers.
Right, right.
And the show kind of centers around the need to raise more money. And he comes up, Hanklin comes, the father, Hanklin comes up with an idea to raise some money, but in the end, it doesn't quite come off the way he expected. So the question now is, how do we get out of this thing? And so that's the premise of the show. And I think you'll enjoy it. Okay. I think the audience will enjoy it.
Now, you not only wrote Hank and Frank, but you're also directing this as well. This is your third time. What is it like being in the director's chair and also being the writer?
It's a different experience. You're bringing actors together. As a matter of fact, even through the audition process, bringing actors in, right, taking a look at people, what's the good fit, what's the chemistry like. It involves all of that because yeah. I did actually all of that. I had some help, but I did all of that. And it was very interesting. It's a growing process, but I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Okay. You're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius, and I'm talking to playwright Kerwin D. Sims about his new theatrical production, Hank and Frank. Kerwin, walk us through the process. When you're putting a production together, are you thinking of the characters first or the story first, or how does it all come together?
Well, you actually start with the story.
Okay.
And what is the story? And if you don't already have some actors in mind that you've already worked with, and fortunate for me, I did. I've had Herman Spearman has done worked with me on two previous productions.
Okay.
I knew this was a slam dunk, something he could do and do very, very well. So if you have an artist in mind, that's a great fit, that you think is a great fit, that's an easier process. But if you're starting from just a script and you have a story and a character, then you've got to audition people to see, well, you know, who can make this character, who can make these words on the paper come alive to be a living, breathing, relatable character for the audience.
Right. Now, were you a part of the audition process?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I sat through and did numerous auditions for the production.
Now, the show features some notable Atlantans like Derek Alexander Pope. What was it like working with these guys? You know, we're used to seeing them sort of out in the community doing mm-hmm. their thing, but now we're going to see them on stage. So what was it like working with them?
Derek's a natural. He's an attorney by profession.
Okay.
He's an executive with Fulton County. So making speeches, talking in front of large groups of people on a variety of topics is something he's very comfortable doing. Acting is a little different,
right,
but you have to give direction, and he takes direction quite well. So okay, it's a very enjoyable experience, and I think the audience will enjoy his performance as well.
Now, Kerwin, you're producing this through your new company, Ovations Entertainment. What advice would you give to someone who is an aspiring playwright, someone that wants to get a production up and on an Atlanta stage?
Well, I would say do due diligence. There are many different stages available, different sizes, different audiences. Pick one that's going to be right for you in whatever production that you're going to be taking on.
Right.
Don't grasp at something too large. You might want to be on a large stage, but you have to work your way up to that.
Okay.
So I would say start there, be realistic, and get some help along the way. There are many people in this market that would love to help and lend their advice to a young budding artist or producer that's coming on to get their productions on in the market.
Right. Now, Atlanta has become the new Hollywood South, mm-hmm. and so much is going on. A lot of shows, a lot of television, films. Do you see yourself transitioning from the stage and into a television series or a possible movie in the future?
Absolutely. In fact, I really want to do a few theatrical productions from a branding perspective.
Okay.
And really do more of the writing and licensing of the productions for stage production companies to do.
Okay.
And I would just be more on the writing and licensing end. But writing for a television show as well as film, I'd love to do that. And I plan to endeavor in that as soon as this play is done.
Yeah. Now, who are some of your influences in terms of being a playwright? Who are some of the people that inspired you to start writing and working on these shows?
Well, I mean, August Wilson is probably the best known. I mean, his work is phenomenal. I've enjoyed reading, and I've enjoyed sitting through a lot of the work that's been produced here locally.
Right.
And it's interesting because of the way that different directors and producers will do the same play.
Right.
And of course, the artists have a big part of that. But August is probably the single largest inspiration for me.
Okay.
But there are other people as well. I mean, I think Langston Hughes, as a writer and poet, was perhaps one of my earliest admirers of his work.
Sir Kerwin, tell us where our audience can get more information about Hank and Frank.
Well, you can see Hank and Frank at the Southwest Arts Center in Atlanta.
Okay.
And ticket information and all the information on showtimes, it can be found at ovationsentertainment.com. We open September 8th, which is a Thursday. First show is at 7 p.m. and we run through Sunday at 3 p.m. So there's one show on Thursday at 7. There's a show at Friday at 7. Two shows on Saturday, one at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. And then again, we finish on Sunday, September 11th at 3 p.m.
Okay.
Last show.
Well, Kerwin, thank you so much for being a guest on Upfront today.
What an honor. Thank you for having me.
My last guest is one of the most sought-after celebrity wardrobe stylists in entertainment. He has worked with a number of music's biggest stars, including Jennifer Hudson, Fantasia, Keisha Cole, and Atlanta's own Keri Hilson. He has also styled some of Hollywood's rising stars, including Tiana Paris, Anna Diop, and Trey Byers. In addition to that, he has served as the costume designer for the award-winning 2014 film Dear White People. I'm talking about none other than Toye Adedipe. Welcome to Upfront. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. First of all, I have to say congratulations on being featured in a recent edition of Life and Style magazine. How cool was that?
It's amazing. I think the biggest epiphany for me is seeing how far I've come since making a transition to LA from Atlanta. I don't know. I'm still in my head this eternal geek that nobody really listens to, but the reality or the truth is that there's a voice that I have and it's being heard. So it's a full circle moment to see my work being featured in films or TV or red carpets or magazines. And this one was pretty cool because it's a pivotal force in the industry. So it was a blessing. I really enjoyed it.
Cool. So explain to our listeners the difference between a fashion stylist and a wardrobe stylist, or is there a difference?
Okay. Well, for me, I feel like a lot of people may have the term not necessarily confused, but it might intertwine a bit. So when I describe myself as a fashion stylist and a wardrobe stylist, I usually dissect the two with celebrity and editorial. So, for example, when I work with a celebrity, I consider that work to be something that's more fluid. There's movement to it. So when you look at movement, you think of things like film or TV or red carpet or even music videos, something where there's an element of that person actually showing off what they're wearing. Mm-hmm. With fashion styling, I refer to that more in the editorial realm. So when you look at a magazine or you look at a book or you look at maybe a CD cover, that is more of a still of an image that has been styled by hopefully a good fashion stylist.
Right.
and it speaks to you and you enjoy it and you like it. So yeah, those are kind of the, I guess the differences between the two as it relates to my type of work.
Okay. This is Upfront with Ray Cornelius, and I'm talking to celebrity wardrobe stylist and costume designer Toye Adedipe. You're sort of bi-coastal. You work here in Atlanta, you live in LA, and sometimes you're here and then you're back there in LA. So what are some of the styles that you say epitomizes Atlanta and LA?
That's a good question. I think for me, when I'm in Atlanta, I feel like there is a Southern continuity that's very distinguishable. I feel like you can see how well polished people present their looks out there. LA is a little bit more laid back. It's a little bit more t-shirt and jeans, a little bit more effortless. But I think that the awesome part about that is that when you fuse the two, when you fuse someone looking really well polished with someone looking a little bit more laid back, you get this beautiful, effortless aesthetic. And if you can find a balance between the two, it's great. The style is out there. Like, you have the hipsters in Little Five Points. You have the well-to-do in Buckhead. You have a little bit more of an urban feel in the loft area of Castleberry Hill. Like, there's so much texture and richness in Atlanta that people, I definitely know throughout the fashion community, probably overlook, but I've been blessed to experience both. So I can say without a doubt that it's there. So.
This is Upfront with Ray Cornelius, and I'm talking to celebrity wardrobe stylist and costume designer Toye Adedipe. Now, you're more than just a celebrity wardrobe stylist, but you were also the costume designer for the critically acclaimed movie Dear White People. What was it like styling for an entire cast of people?
Oh, I wanted to shout when you just said that with excitement, really, because it was so much work. I don't think... Oh man, I'm flustered with emotion when I think about it, not just from excitement, but now I'm almost like exhausted thinking about what an entire day consisted of. A lot of it meant no sleep. A lot of it meant studying the script and learning about continuity and learning about the personalities of the characters and then learning about the personalities of the actors, because a lot of times those two personalities don't coincide. I may have an actor that's really well to do in the film, but is just a laid back, chill, go with the flow type of person in real life. So in order to make them feel comfortable, whether they're getting into character or being their true selves, I have to find a happy medium to build upon that platform that they're presenting their look in.
Well, Toye, thank you so much for being our guest today on Upfront. And where can our listeners follow you?
Thank you for having me. And you can definitely. Well, before I even go there, but congratulations on your success.
Oh, like, thank you.
I'm smiling from ear to ear because I've known Ray for such a long time, and he is such a hard worker. I've never seen anyone work as hard as this young man has to achieve the level of success that he's achieving and has achieved, and is genuinely a good person and nice. I've seen it for my own eyes. I have friends, so I'm like, they're not so nice. They only nice with me. They only get along with me. They may not get along with you. But I can say without a shadow of a doubt, you deserve this momentous platform that you've been bestowed upon, and to much who is given, much is required, and hopefully you're passing on the opportunities for other people to have a voice as well. But with all that being said, you can find me at Toye Adedipe on Instagram. Okay. And that's pretty much where you'll see a lot of my work, or you can Facebook me as well too. And I think it's open on my Facebook, so you can just join and click through.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Toye, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd like to thank my guests, hip-hop star Milan Christopher, playwright Kerwin D. Sims, and celebrity wardrobe stylist and costume designer Toye Adedipe. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and would like to remind you that you can always listen to Upfront on WCLK.com. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Support for Upfront Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry comes from Life Enrichment Realty and online at LifeEnrichmentRealty.com.